Magical Mondays with the Psychic Cowgirl Shannon and Psychic Sidekick Virginia. We will be discussing metaphysical topics, psychic and intuitive development, and self-empowerment. Join us for information, laughter, and connection each Monday. Thanks for being here. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Magical Mondays with myself, Shannon, and Virginia.
Hi.
How are you tonight?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Way better.
After your crazy day.
Yes. Yes. My karma today.
Shannon has a very ironic story of karma to start off our show.
I do. So, I had a weird day. First, I was double booked. I made a phone date to have someone come on as a guest on our show, and she will in January. But I'd also made an appointment in town, and so first thing this morning I realized I double booked myself, so I sent her a message and changed that one. That was all good, but it kind of puts your day slightly off kilter when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to town and I did all my errands and did all my stuff, had lunch with a friend. It was really fantastic. Then when I was leaving there, one of the ladies at lunch said, "Your energy seems a little off today. It feels like you need to spend some time grounding or being alone or something." I'm like, okay. I said, I double booked myself. Maybe that's what it is. And then as I was driving home, I felt weird, like unsettled, and then I got really, really tired, and so I turned off my heat and did whatever I needed to do. I get home, I drive up to my garage, I go to get out, and I look over, and there's two of my horses out, standing in the hay pen and being kind of edgy, weird. So I get out, and I go over there to see if they're all out, and no, the rest are in, just those two, and it's my two younger ones, and they're not happy. The one saw me, as soon as he saw me, he came racing over, and then his friend sidetracked him, and so he ran away. So I went in there, and I opened the gate, and they came up to me, and they were all weird and needing a little bit of love, and then they went in, and I walked the whole fence. I walked down the road. I saw horse tracks. I could not find where they got out. And then I went back to my gate in my yard that goes out to the pasture where all the cows and deer and elk and everything are, so you know what I'm thinking. And it wasn't latched the way the kids did it, because when the kids do it, they latch it like nobody's getting out of there. They wrap and wrap and wrap and wrap and latch the chains. I'm thinking, great, maybe someone, you know, shot a deer and it jumped over and ran into our field and some hunter tried to get in and nobody was home to tell him no and he let my horses out and I was mad. So, of course, on Facebook, oh, wait. Then 3 hours later, we go out to check the horses, and my one horse, Friday, he's still freaked out edgy. And Brent, my husband, could not get near him. He wouldn't come up to us. I just sort of really gently sneak up to him and talk quiet and pet him and calm him all down. Then he was fine, but he was edgy running around. So, of course, I rant on Facebook about the dumbass who let my horses out and how rude it was, and it was probably a hunter because I have trouble with the hunters in my area. Ranted, had lots of comments, all my friends commiserating with me. Virginia and I had a big discussion about it. My neighbor calls. Yeah, I came to get paid for hauling your bales, and your horses were all out that little man gate. Must not have been latched. So guess who the dumbasses are? Yes, it was us. We forgot the latch gate. All the horses got out. All the old ones came back in like good horses. The two little ones ran off down the road, and he decided, you know what, they'll come home. It'll be fine. Yeah,
and
that's
how
karma.
How do you feel now?
Well, first I laughed and went, oh, now I got to go tell on myself on Facebook that I was completely wrong. Oh, well, I can do it. It's karma. Now I have to go admit that I was wrong, plain and simple.
And I think that's actually a key thing to karma in our lives is admitting when we've messed up.
Yes.
You know, especially when we've, what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of
misjudged.
Yeah, that's a good word. You know, you're placing blame somewhere and you're assuming basically and without
yes.
knowing facts. And then going back and owning your own mistake and misjudgment and assumption for being
yes.
incorrect, that I think is a big key. I think that kind of rebalances the karma that you just put out, because you just put out some pretty nasty karma. And
yeah,
now
bad.
That you, right.
to be fair,
it,
mm-hmm. to both of us, there was hunters involved because they were shooting earlier and scaring my horses. Because my horses were out in a pasture, and they came racing in hard. So we weren't, I mean, totally off the mark. I was completely off the mark about the gate.
Because
mm-hmm. it was us, completely. But there was, we do have hunter issues. So there was, like, some threads of correctness in there. Doesn't mean
mm-hmm.
that I wasn't wrong, though. I was.
Well, and it's a fair assumption. You know, you said already that you have problems with the hunters in your area, so it's a natural assumption, I should say, that you would think that's probably what happened.
Yes, but I was wrong. And then we have a show on karma. But here's what I want to say: there, I could very easily, without even of course I wouldn't do it, but you know what? I can't say that I wouldn't have done it 10 years ago, not said a word. Just let everybody think that it was the hunters and commiserate with me that how horrible they were, not said one word, and just kept it on. I mean, it would have been a big fat lie, but I could have, right? And sometimes we have done stuff like that where we don't want to fess up.
Right.
And it's uncomfortable. And we work ourselves into a state of anxiety, and we feel really dumb about it. But for some reason, there's some sort of block or some sort of shame involved, and we don't want to admit that we were mistaken. Does that
mm-hmm.
make sense?
Yes, completely.
And so we actually do more damage to ourselves. And because we couldn't make or admit and own up to what really happened or what our piece of it was, we would probably attract a very similar situation to give us another opportunity. That would
yes.
be a definition of karma.
Or it can come in the version of another similar situation, or you can also expect down the line you to be maybe on the receiving end of unfair judgment or assumptions or blame being placed on you unnecessarily or just
true.
A dishonest situation where you're kind of the center of it and you might have nothing to do with it, but because you created this karma within yourself, this is what you've attracted. And then when it happens, this is what floors me about karmic, just as a universal law, is it amazes me how people who will put out this story because they think it's true, then they find out the real truth and they don't come out and admit that they were wrong. They just let the lie continue. And then when they are faced with this situation down the line that they've essentially brought onto themselves in this karmic law, they sit there and wonder, why the hell is this happening to me? I don't understand. What did I do wrong? And that is what floors me about the whole concept of karma, is that people refuse, first of all, obviously, they refuse to admit that they were wrong or have fault, but even worse is that they refuse to acknowledge and accept that they just might have had something to do with the situation that they're in.
Yes. True.
Mm-hmm.
True. And we'll keep using my example because it like was kind of a beautiful thing to happen to me today. So had I not told everybody on Facebook that I was mistaken, I take it all back, it wasn't hunters, this is what really happened. And then I also, on my other post, said, Who were the dumbasses? We are. I totally owned everything. Okay, but had I not done that, then yes, in Virginia's example, there's a very good chance that in the near future, because everything's happening quicker now, I would be either accused or be on the receiving end of someone making assumptions about me that I really had nothing to do with.
Mm-hmm.
And then wonder why that happened.
Mm-hmm. And that is that is just baffling to my mind. when people just don't understand. I had a couple examples that I wrote down. Go ahead.
Okay.
I know you have a thought.
Well, I was just thinking, and it's really even more intriguing when you can see the pattern that they've created,
mm-hmm.
and then they don't understand why this is happening to them.
I wrote a blog posting probably like a year or so ago about this because I was butting heads with my brother on the topic of karma.
Okay.
And he's one of the people who doesn't quite get it because he thinks of it as an eye for an eye. Well, I might have stolen this from somebody and nobody came and stole this from me. And so I tried to explain to him that it's not necessarily how it works. It could potentially work that way, but it doesn't have to be the exact same situation. It's energetically the same. So, for example, if you spent years kind of cheating the system by lying about your income or filing for public assistance untruthfully, you can't be surprised if years later you find yourself losing your home or your car seemingly out of nowhere. You can't be surprised if you feel like your world is crumbling down on you and you don't understand why, because that is the law of karma.
Right.
But on the other end, it also works in the positive sense. You know, the more of a good person that you are, that you're honest and you truly do good things, you have an altruistic nature, there's honor in your word, you attract those people and those situations into your life, and you'll notice that life is easier for you, or all of these nice, fun, exciting things are happening suddenly, or strangers do random acts of kindness for you. It's because that's what you're putting out there. So you're attracting that good karma to you.
Yes.
That's my rant.
I should be all ranted out by now. One of the other things about karma is that you, each life, you are working on other aspects of karma. So
mm-hmm.
say, what would be a good example? Well, I had a past life regression, and in it, I was a healer, and I was killed for it. So there's a very good chance that in this life, being a healer, I won't be killed for it. And I will work out. That doesn't mean that the people that killed me will be killed in this life by me. It doesn't work that way. But I will work out whatever karma was created between them and by them. And in this life, they won't kill me.
Mm-hmm.
Did I explain that well?
Kind of.
Okay. I'll get more specific. I did a past life regression. And in that regression, I was married to my ex-husband, and I was living in Australia, and I was doing healing work, and some people that didn't like it, who were, I guess, in power, and my current husband was an Aboriginal bodyguard for me, but my ex-husband, who was my then-husband in that life, couldn't handle the pressure, and basically, killed me. And my current husband, who was my bodyguard, couldn't save me. And in this life, I was married to my first husband, and I left him, so he didn't kill me. and now I'm married to my bodyguard guy. It's all good. So that could be working out a karmic cycle, right?
Right. This lifetime, you had the opportunity to come together again, you and the ex-husband. He
yep.
had the opportunity to make things right this lifetime. He may or may not have, but you still held the power this lifetime as opposed to him having the power like the last lifetime.
Yes.
And instead of him energetically killing you by being the one to leave you or kind of, you know, crush your spirit momentarily or something, you left him. You made the decision of what needed to be done.
Right. So then
it
some
makes
karmic...
sense to me.
Pardon me?
It makes sense to me.
So then some karmic debts would have been completed or some karmic patterns would have been finished, right?
Correct.
Yes.
And that's the tricky thing with karma is because you could be dealing with past life karma, which almost guaranteed every single one of us are. But then you're
yes.
also dealing with current life karma because every action that you make and every word that you say and every intention that you have, that creates new karma for you. Which
yes.
if you don't correct this lifetime, you carry into the next one or the next one or the next one until you correct it and kind of pay the debt that you've created with it.
Yes.
So it's a little
see,
tricky, it's a little involved.
It is tricky. And I feel that soul contracts fit in with karma because in
perfectly.
My example, I would have had a soul contract with my ex-husband and my current husband, right? That life that we were all in together and this life.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I think we come together again in lifetimes. We keep kind of running into the same souls, and we
yes.
make these contracts with each other so that we can learn and grow, so that we can pay off a karmic debt, or that we can create better karma for ourselves and each other, and so that we get the lessons that we need each lifetime.
I agree. And I don't think it always has to be complicated. Sometimes it can be simple.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say, I don't know, what would be a simple one? Buying a coffee for someone in the line behind you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know that in a past life you had an opportunity to pay for something for them when they were broke and you were not and you didn't take it. So say you buy them a coffee for the person in line behind you and then you just clear up any karma there.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll never know about it. But energetically you'll feel it. You'll just feel really good.
Mm-hmm. I do that often. Not necessarily... inside, usually I'm like in a drive-thru or I do it a lot at the toll booth.
I will
just randomly pay the toll because I go through the manual one. So I will randomly pay the toll for someone behind me. And same with, you know, once in a while if I'm getting coffee through a drive-thru or something, I will just say, hey, if there's a car behind me, you know, I just say, hey, I'm going to pay their bill as well. And you just walk away feeling good about yourself because you've done something for no reason other than just to do it. And you don't know what kind of day that person may be having. And you could have just brightened their day completely. Or you could inspire them to do something nice randomly because someone just did a random act of kindness for them. And you kind of,
yes.
it's kind of like a ripple in the ocean, and then it starts
yes.
to spread.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I love about it.
I agree, and it creates this nice ripple effect.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know where it's going to go, and it's not really any of your business.
Right.
That would be creating some good karma.
I love good karma. I don't like the yucky stuff.
No. Well, it looks like we have a bunch of callers, so
let's take them.
Take one. Okay. Hello, caller.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I thought it was so beautiful of you doing the coffee thing and paying for somebody else, so random acts of kindness, paying it forward. And that just gave me so much motivation because I try to do the same, but I give a lot of compliments when I go out, like
nice.
Just randomly to people and or to babies and children, and you would just not believe how much of a big smile that gives. So that's another creative way, and I thank you for sharing that.
I completely agree.
That was Virginia
agree.
That does
yeah,
the coffee thing.
It doesn't
thing.
Have to be. It doesn't have to be money. You don't have to do it in the form of money. Like, I think that's a perfect example of just being complimentary. Looking
mm-hmm.
someone in the eye, if you know their name, saying their name. A great way is if you're out to eat at a restaurant and the server tells you their name or has on a name tag or something, you know, like, genuinely thank them for the job that they've done, if they did a good job, you know. Stop them, look them in the eye, say their name, and give a genuine compliment.
Yeah.
And mean it.
Right, absolutely. Finding something beautiful in a person and
mm-hmm.
just going with it. I find that that has really helped me to improve my karma. When I'm having a bad day, I immediately go out into the public and do something wonderful and transmute that negativity. But anyway, that's
awesome.
Not why I call. That's not why I called. I was really attracted to your blog talk, the whole thing about karma and you know, soul contracts and soulmates. Because I had met somebody quite a while back, a few years later, who after meeting them, and we never had nothing to do with each other, but just through meeting that person, they changed my life. And
nice.
Yeah, and I became on this, I got on this spiritual journey. So I was just wondering about that, if that was a soul contract. And I never got a chance to give this person a compliment about it. They just kind of, like, disappeared. And
I would say yes, that's a soul contract. You decided to meet at a certain time to give each other, you know, certain information or help each other through some sort of time. Can you find them? Like, could you find an email or anything like that and fire them off one?
Well, I went back to the place where this individual was, and they were gone, and I left my contact information and twice, and they refused to contact me. So
okay.
I don't have no idea what that's about. I don't know if we had a bad karma in a past life. But this time I was trying to, you know, tell them how they affected my life in a very positive way, but heard nothing, so.
Go ahead.
That's okay for it to be that way, because maybe it's just meant to be that way for you two. And
yeah.
If you notice, the first thing you said was you find yourself out in public and giving compliments to people, random people.
Mm-hmm.
And so since you weren't able to compliment this person who made such a change in your life, you are now complimenting random people, so that you are being able to kind of give that thanks out there in some fashion.
Yes, it became a desire for me. I mean, not just for that. It's truly genuine, but that's interesting how you link that up, and I didn't think of it that way until now, which is good, because that, you know, that gave me another way of looking at it.
And then so you're able to fulfill any karma that you have there of maybe not being I forgot the word of maybe not being gracious or thankful in the manner that you wanted to be, but you're still given the opportunity to do so. So you're still you're not leaving that debt out there. You're not you're fulfilling it, just not to that direct person, but you're still fulfilling the karma.
Yeah, and I know deep down inside that eventually this person is going to get that message in this life or the next.
Right. Well, on a soul level, they know, right? And you can talk to their soul or spirit and just tell them what you want to say. And you don't know what they're going through. Maybe they're, you know, going through some sort of situation where they just are retreating from the whole world. It's not personal to you. It's everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be the case. You know, and just didn't want to, you know, let anybody in. But I believe, you know, I believe it's been fulfilled. I feel that in my soul, you know, because it was a desire. And I believe that now I can move on.
Nice.
Yeah.
It was a nice gift that you gave to each other, because that person taught you spiritual things, and you were the student that they probably needed.
Excuse me, I'm sorry, it's cold season here. Yeah, it was quite an experience. It was shocking, you know, when you meet somebody so beautiful, and you just don't get a chance to. And what it taught me is that never to hinder or to stall in saying thank you at that moment, because you never know. The next
True.
Day, they may not be there. So that taught me to say what I need to say immediately, and that was a whole lesson also for me, is not to stall, not to be afraid to just say, you know, you did something for me, and I wanted to thank you. So
nice.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic gift.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, it was a wonderful gift, and just the whole idea of being thankful, you know, because sometimes I took that for granted anyway, in the past. So that gave me a lesson to, you know, moving forward.
And another piece of karma is when someone doesn't want anything to do with you, you have to honor that.
Right. To let go, right.
Mm-hmm. As hard as it is, because there could be some karmic, you know, cycles or patterns that maybe you relied on each other too much in a past life, or whatever you came together to do, be, see, whatever together is over and you have to let it go and move on. There could be many, many reasons, and sometimes it's not up to us to know why. It's just up to us to accept it.
And this
Yeah.
could be also just a soul contract aspect of things, where your souls made the contract to meet up, like Shannon said, at this certain time for this certain reason. And you said that not being thankful or vocalizing your gratitude, you took things for granted, and so you didn't vocalize how grateful you were. And then you were kind of given this lesson and this opportunity of someone in a situation where you were overwhelmingly grateful and wanted to say it but didn't say it soon enough. And had they not kind of disappeared, you wouldn't get the lesson so strongly, because you would have had the opportunity to say thank you. So you may not make it a point to say thank you immediately if they were still around, or you got the opportunity to say thank you to them. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes, definitely. There's a big lesson in that. That was definitely the lesson. And, it does make sense. And I believe that that's definitely what happened, right?
And if, you know, it works out, there might be another time and a place where you two will run into each other, and then you can say what you want to say, or maybe there won't. I mean, we don't get to know that, right?
Right, right. Now, I truly understand, because I've been in the situation where I've been chased too many times, and when you just don't want to face the person, or you don't want to continue a relationship with somebody, and they keep haunting you and chasing
mm-hmm.
after you, that's a really bad feeling, and you just want to tell them, you know, let go. So, you know, I put myself in that situation. I says, no, I'm only going to attempt twice, and that's it, and I'm going to let it go. And I have let go. But I just wanted to, you know, share that.
Nice.
Because that was a big lesson. And, you know, the whole lesson of saying what we need to say at that particular time. And,
yes.
you know, looking at the whole lesson. Yeah.
Nice. Well, thank you for calling in to us.
Thank you for the show. It was really informative. I learned a lot. Thank you so much.
Great.
You have a blessed
evening.
You,
thanks. I hope you get to listen to the rest.
Thank you.
Okay, so should we talk more about soul contracts?
Sure.
All right. What do we want to say? Where do we start? Okay, well, let's start with you and I.
Okay.
So Virginia and I met kind of randomly
mm-hmm.
in a psychic development group, and we clicked. So I believe that there was a soul contract that we were to meet at that time and develop a relationship. I mean, it didn't happen instantaneously. I mean, we connected, but we took our time.
Mm-hmm.
Because meeting people online can be weird.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been, I don't know, 5 years or something.
Mm-hmm.
And look where we've ended up. Now we do a radio show together.
And we've become quite close, and it's much different than it was then. And I even made a comment to you once, like, who knew all those years ago that we would have such an effect on each other, I don't remember my exact words, but it was, you know, something along those lines. Like, we didn't know at that time, you know, like you said, we met and we clicked, but it was a forum. It was, like a message
public
board. Yeah. And so you're drawn to certain people, and it's interesting because there's, you know, several people on there that Shannon and I both had become close to and are still friends with or still in touch with, and had it not been for that particular place, I wouldn't have met some very powerful and strong, influential people in my life. So I'm thankful for that opportunity. But aside from that.
But on the flip side, had it not been in that place, we still would have found each other somehow.
Right.
If we believe in soul contracts, right?
Mm-hmm.
But let me ask you this. Let's talk a little bit about, like, soulmates. And I'm not talking the love kind. I mean, that fits. So I think, okay, so you and I met and we clicked and we created a relationship and we became really good friends, and then we ended up on this radio show together, and it all was, you know, evolved and grew.
Mm-hmm.
But would you, what I'm pondering is, if I did not join that forum, for example, if you would have met somehow somebody else who would have filled my role.
That's a good question.
It just occurred to me. Like, one of the reasons is I know that when it comes to, like, soulmate relationship types, when you're in the process of learning and, say, dating, you can attract people who will teach you things. And then if you learn what you are trying to learn and you move past that, you will attract other people. If you do not learn what you're trying to learn, you will attract the same person just in a different costume.
Yes. And I think that where you and I are concerned, I think it's a little different, because I don't think that necessarily, or maybe we're just not in that phase, but I don't think that necessarily we are learning specific lessons from each other. I think we're fulfilling roles and purposes in each other's lives, which I think is a little different than encountering someone that you learn a lesson from, and if you don't learn the lesson, then you keep meeting the same type of person. So I
yes.
don't think that I would have met somebody to fulfill your role in my life,
okay.
because I think your role is specific and unique in my life, and so I think that it's specific to you, and so it had to be you.
Got it.
But I get what you're saying where, you know, I'm meeting, well, we'll say, for example, I'm dating and I'm married, so this is completely hypothetical. But let's say I'm dating a guy who is kind of abusive in some manner, like verbally abusive, and I'm not learning the lesson to stand up for myself. So him and I end things, but I never stood up for myself. So I'm going to continue to date these kind of dominating, verbally abusive people until I learn to stand up for myself, because that's
right.
my lesson. And once I do stand up for myself, then all of a sudden, magically, these people are no longer entering my life. They might enter once or twice more, so the universe, because the universe is testing me to make sure I truly got the lesson. But once the universe understands that I have learned the lesson and I'm standing up for myself and I'm not allowing this behavior in my life anymore, then these people don't come into my life. Now it's happy people and people that are nice to me and treat me well and respect me.
So a soul contract can be made, but if you learn the lesson before, it can be null and void.
Yeah, that makes sense, because
I think so.
If I learn the lesson from guy one, then the contract I made with guys two, three, and four aren't necessary anymore. Yeah, that makes
right.
total sense.
So I wonder if that's why sometimes we think we've missed opportunities, like say in a relationship, because we were kind of attracted to somebody, but we dated somebody else, and then later on we thought, well, what if? But it never works out again. I wonder if it's because we're done. We've moved
yeah.
like up on our soul growth, and so we're not supposed to be with them, because if we were, we would be back in that same energy that we've already grown and evolved out of.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would apply to some friendships, because some friendships are for soul growth and learning, and some are just soul group and you just hang.
Mm-hmm. And that makes sense for me. There was a group of friends. We lived in a small town, and, you know, we all went to grade school and junior high and high school together. And while we all knew each other, we weren't always a big group of friends. And as we got older, we kind of evolved into this big huge group of friends, you know, like there was this group on this side and this group on that side and then this group here and that group there. And then at some point in time, like all four groups of people from the town just kind of merged together and everyone was this big, huge group of friends. And then slowly it all started to break. And for many reasons. I mean, my own personal reasons were I just wasn't okay with behaviors that were going on. I wasn't comfortable with them, and I didn't want to be a part of them anymore. And so I kind of broke away from the group as a whole. And some people all still talk to each other, but there's still, it's funny because then at the end of the day, it's kind of back to that core group that started out in the very, very beginning anyway. I mean, I vividly remember I was 10 years old and, you know, these were my friends and the ones that I hung out with and talked to every single day. And here, 20-something years later, those are still the same people that I turn to and go to, regardless of all of the bumps in the road and ups and downs and huge super groups of friends that we created and then broke off from. So we're kind of back to the basics of it being just the core of us, which I kind of like.
Nice. That's interesting.
Yeah, it is kind of a fascinating thing that happened there. But I think that we all came together for a reason. You know, there was some kind of contract there for us to come together and learn lessons. I know what my specific lessons were, and that's all I can know. I can't know everybody else's, you know.
Right. So let's also talk about soul contracts with people that we don't like, because those are soul contracts.
Right. Well, that applies to the whole friendship situation because I don't like those people. So I stopped being friends with them. And I don't know that not liking them is the right thing. There's just behaviors. I mean, there's reasons you don't like certain people, right?
Yes.
It's either, you know, things that they say or things that they do or behaviors they exhibit. And I just wasn't a fan of things that were happening and ways people were behaving and things they were saying and doing. And so I had to learn the lesson of, do I want to stick around and be a part of this and essentially be enabling all of this, or do I want
right.
to break away and be my own person? And at the end of the day, I wanted to be my own person, and that's how that worked out for me.
So that group soul contract thing was a huge gift in that you got to learn what you like, what you don't like, what you will put up with, what you won't put up with, right? So that's a huge gift.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Soul contracts sometimes may feel uncomfortable, but those ones are actually the huge, huge gifts.
Yeah. And, I mean, I'm civil. If I ever see these people, I'm civil to them when I see them. Luckily, I don't see them often.
Yay.
But
they're also
teaching
you tolerance.
Right.
They're teaching patience.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so many gifts that occur. We may not like them. We may not want to acknowledge them. But if we just sit in the energy and realize that even the difficult relationships are teaching us so much.
Mm-hmm. I think we learn more from the difficult ones.
Yes, because we're forced to, right? Because we beat ourselves up over it.
Mm-hmm. And they're difficult for a reason. If it was nice and happy and rainbows and unicorns, we might not pay as much attention.
We wouldn't, yeah. I think that our biggest soul contracts are with our family members because, I mean, they frustrate, irritate us the most.
Oh, gosh.
They have
I
the
agree.
Most influence on our lives until we're 18, give or take. Yeah, and they can trigger us like nobody else.
Oh, yeah. I think I have a very major soul contract with a couple of specific females in my life. And we'll just leave it at that.
I have one with my dad and my brother. It's uncomfortable and messy, but...
Yours are male and mine are female. That's interesting.
Yep. Yeah. And one of the interesting things I did, when my first marriage was breaking up, I realized that in my arrogance, I had married someone almost identical to my dad. He wasn't totally identical, but in my madness, he was. And I thought, okay, I don't want this to happen again. What can I do proactively? So I actually wrote my dad a letter. It probably scared him because it was probably freaked him out that he received a letter from me. But I wrote him a letter saying, you know what? Yeah, you were a jerk, but I forgive you and I move on. And I'm trying to move on because apparently I married exactly like you. So I need to release this energy and I want you to know that I love you. I may not wish to speak with you, but, you know, I love you in a spiritual way. I probably didn't put it quite like that because I wasn't that eloquent then. I was mad, remember? But I did write this big letter and send it off to my dad just to release some of the energy of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was actually a lot easier to leave my husband, too, because I believe part of the, like, karma, soul contract stuff, was both relationships, right? And to forgive
mm-hmm.
the one, I had to forgive the other.
Right. And to release the one, you had to release the other.
Yes. And it was hard,
yeah.
And it was sticky, and it was messy, but writing the letter and working out some of the stuff I was feeling helped. Now, knowing what I know now, I probably shouldn't have sent the letter. But I did. Because, again, I was mad. Probably created some whole new karma doing that, but hey.
Now you would just write the letter and burn it or something.
Yes, I would. I would burn it. I would let it fix itself energetically.
Right.
15 years ago? Oh, no, I wrote the letter and sent it. Come on.
Yeah, I did.
I know.
The same things with my mom. I would write letters that I shouldn't have written. And then either gave them to her, and if she wouldn't read them, I would read them out loud to her. And that never ended well.
So you know exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, as we grow spiritually and get smarter, we know not to send the letters.
Right.
And for us, not really for them.
Right. Because we
go ahead.
Well, we have to be okay with the events that are happening in our lives. We may not like them. We may not like what's happening. We may not like what other people are doing. But we have to find a way through it ourselves, because whatever is going on with the other person, that's for them to deal with and figure out, not for us. And we have to find a
right.
way to release ourselves from the situation. And
yes.
sometimes that comes in the form of letters that don't need to be sent.
Yes, don't send them. Because think of, I know I didn't think of any of this and I was mad, but think if you received a letter like that.
Oh, my goodness.
Mind you, if I did, I would want to have a conversation with them and let's talk about this.
I would want to punch them in the face.
See, and I'd want to talk about it. Well, why do you think that? Well, what happened? Well, what do you mean? Well, what exactly did I do? Okay, and then you took it as that way. Oh, yeah, I would dissect it. So nobody will ever send me a letter like that.
Well, and then what
I will
happens analyze. Is... Right, and it doesn't solve anything. It doesn't release any of the energy, because now what's happening is not only did you open it up, but it's like those little... I don't know what those little things are where you open the big one and then there's another one inside of it. You open that and then there's a smaller one inside it, and then you open that and there's a smaller one and a small, and you know, and they keep getting smaller and smaller. You're like opening more and more and more, and you're getting to the smallest, most minute detail that has nothing to do with it. It bears no weight on the situation at all. But yet you're bringing up, it's opening up all these teeny tiny little things that don't matter. And so then you're never solving anything and releasing any of the energy. If anything, you're making the heaviness of it worse.
True. And you're just creating a ripple effect in a negative way.
Right. And we don't like negative ripples.
No. We don't. Yeah. But it makes you wonder, right? So every time you meet somebody, well, especially when you meet somebody and you look at them and you already know them,
mm-hmm.
that's a soul contract.
Right.
That you agree to meet at a certain time. Oh, so, and Charity is asking about, what about someone that she knew a long time ago and didn't like? And now that, you know, it's been a few years and they've changed, and they're not BFFs, but we're pretty good friends.
that could be, to me, it feels like an evolution of some sort. Like, you didn't like each other at a certain point in time. And I think this happens with a lot of people. You initially meet, and you're like, oh, my gosh, I did not like you when I first met you, but you're so close now. Or quite the opposite. You meet someone, and you click and vibe with them right off the bat, and you become so close so quick, and then all of a sudden, months later, you're like, oh, my goodness, I can't stand this person. So
yes.
I think it's the lesson of maybe, you know, you still need to work through something, or they still need to work through something, or, you know, not to kind of jump in too quickly because you want to test the waters a little more, make sure you know what you're getting into, or maybe not to trust too easily. Like, there's so many things involved in things like that.
And Charity's question was, does timing matter? And I don't know about time, but your soul growth does. So maybe when you knew each other like a long time ago, you were both in a space where you wouldn't like each other because of who you were at that time. And now you've grown and grown up, and you probably both did, and now you have more things in alignment.
Right.
Or I would say time, it's probably spiritual growth.
And I agree with Shannon because I feel like you could have been in alignment then, but you may not have encountered lessons and situations that you needed to encounter. Had you become friends, you may have gone down a different path and things would
right.
have happened the way they were meant to, or things you needed to go through without that person being your friend.
In the spirit of being bratty, though, there could be another aspect of you that's living a parallel life where you were best friends then. I do this to torment Virginia. That's all.
I should have known.
I've been waiting for an opportunity to throw that in.
This is going to be Shannon's thing. She's going to find a way to bring up parallel lives with every show.
Yep. Just until Virginia's okay with the concept. Think of all the other Shannon and Virginias doing fun things.
Think of all the other parallel lives where Shannon's tormenting Virginia.
Yeah. Think of all the other parallel lives where Virginia's told scary Halloween stories and scared Shannon.
This is true.
Just
but if it was a parallel life, you probably wouldn't be tormenting me and I wouldn't be trying to scare you.
True. Or we are. Or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe I'm trying to scare you.
And I'm tormenting you.
Halloween stories and you're scaring me with parallel lives. Who knows, right?
Right.
So with karma and soul contracts, what do you think about when you go through some lessons and you shift your energy? We are going to talk about energy shifts on a show not that long from now. Do you think that you kind of evolve yourself into, we'll call it a higher version just for something to call it, or a smarter or a more spiritual version of yourself?
I do. I think you were right with the higher version of yourself. I think you evolve into a higher version of yourself, yes.
And so that's why some soul contracts that you made no longer apply, and you probably have other ones
waiting
that apply to this higher version of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So as I was driving to town this morning, I was thinking how simple our world is, yet how way more complex than we know about.
Right. I think it's all, I think it's so interwoven and webbed.
Yes.
And so that's why I don't think about it too much, because it makes my head hurt. But I think at the heart of it all, I think we are all interconnected in some way, shape, or form.
Yes.
And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Hey, hey. So Listeners, do you think I'll have Virginia convinced of parallel lives by the time it's 2013?
Okay, here's the thing. Here's the thing that everyone may not be aware of is the past few times that Shannon has brought up parallel lives, and I've said, oh, whatever, Shannon, this is too much. It makes my head spin. I can't wrap my head around it. I can't. I go to bed that night, and then I have a dream that completely fits into context with her whole parallel lives story, and it makes me angry. I'm not ready to delve into the parallel life world just yet, and Shannon's trying to push me.
Yes, I am. I'm trying to push Virginia on a few things.
I like to, like, when I go into a pool, I am not one who dives in head first. I take the ladder, and I literally go step by step very slowly because I need to get used to the water. And so I, right now, maybe have my toe in, and Shannon's trying to dunk my head under.
So in parallel life, I live near her, and I walk by, and I shove her in.
She's the person who at the pool party, she's always, you know, pushing me in when I'm not looking.
Yeah. Oh, come on. It's okay. I'd be the one giving her peer pressure. Because parallel lives fascinate me, and I want Virginia to be able to talk to me about them. I have a method to my madness. I just haven't quite found a way to get her on board. But we're getting there. Dreams are helping.
Yeah. I just wake up and I'm like, damn it, Shannon. Why did you ever bring this up? I don't have time to read up on this right now.
Well, and I have said this to someone. One of the things about so parallel lives or other lives. So what if you're going to go do something and it scares you? Why can't you tap into the energy of the you that's already done it? And that doesn't even have to be a parallel life. That just means that everything we've done is all connected.
Mm-hmm.
So why can't you tap into a you or an aspect of you that's already done it to take the nerves away? I've done that and it works.
That's a great concept, and I'm going to try it.
Yes, and everybody listening, when you try it, send me an email. I want to know. That's how I could go do a wedding the first time. I just thought, you know what? I've probably done this before in other lives, or I've done this, you know, my parallel or my future self's already done it. So I'm just going to tap into that, and it was easy. When I went to do the speech that, you know, normally I would throw up, I just said before I went, I said, you know what? I'm going to tap into the me that's already done it, and I'll just go up there and rock it. And I did. Oh, I have something exciting to say about that, but we don't have enough time. That will be for our show on energy. I will tell you what a healing that happens next. Yes, that's my tip for the day. Tap into that part of you that's already done it so that you're not scared anymore.
And I like that tip, and I'm going to try it.
Cool.
And I think everyone else does.
And then you'll have to tell us how it went.
I will.
So they told me in my ear that we have 60 seconds. What else would you like to say about karma or soul contracts?
Just be aware of, my advice would be aware of your words and your nature and your intentions and your actions.
And your Facebook rants.
Oh, yeah, that too. Especially when you call people dumbasses.
Yeah. Then you have to hold up the mirror because guess who's the dumbasses? Yeah, that'd be us. We left the gate open. All the horses got out. Yes. Just be aware that when you do things like that, there could be an opportunity where you have to recognize that you yourself did it. Right?
Right.
So don't be totally judgmental. Or if you are, just acknowledge it, right?
Right.
Everybody's laughing at me now because I had to, like, backtrack. Nobody's saying, oh, I can't believe you did that. Or if they are, I don't know about it, so that's okay, too. I'm good
really
with owning.
When you do something like that, and you're able to laugh at yourself for the mistake that you made, it takes judgment off of you because nobody wants to judge you. Everyone's been wrong. So you don't want to point out when someone else is wrong. You want
right.
to say, oh, my gosh, that's so funny that that happened because I've done the exact same thing. you know?
I will say this. If you're ranting on Facebook, don't use names.
No.
Because then if you are wrong, like I was, I didn't know any names anyway, then it's way worse. You've started a karma cycle that's a little bit trickier to get out of.
Right.
And when you're feeling overwhelmed and life is messy, just know that you're working through some of your karma, and when you get through it, woohoo! Because once you work through it, it's done.
Right. And life is happier, and you've weathered the storm.
Yeah, and you're smarter.
Mm-hmm.
And we all love that part. And you're more confident. That
yes.
I found.
Yes. That's always helpful.
Huge. So Blog Talk tells me that we're done. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for everybody that downloads after, because sometimes Blog Talk doesn't let us listen live. I don't know. Weird. But know that we appreciate you.
Very much.
And what are we talking about next week? Do you know?
Next week is our Being Psychic show, and we are talking about symbols and readings that we get.
Nice. And what we do to prepare for a reading, we'll share.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the symbols we get and what they mean and how to figure out some of your own. Cool. All right.
Yeah.
Well, good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.